And welcome back, everybody. We continue to roll till 5:30 today. Then we have UNI college basketball. Speaking of college hoop, Matt Norlander is our guest, CBSSports.com. That's his great love is college basketball, and he joins us right now on the Big Talker 1700. Matt, how you doing, kid?
I'm doing just fine. We are in the thick of college basketball's regular season, which is tremendous, and I'm eager to see how the plot lines twist and change in the coming weeks.
Yeah, we don't have that dominant team this season, Matt. We don't have the undefeated run that we're, you know, grown accustomed to, what we've seen in Wichita a few years back. And week after week, it just seems like another top five team gets knocked off, a group of top ten. So as you look at it, kind of big picture, that aerial view of the college basketball scene, is this good for college basketball this season, or is it going to lead to, well, everybody will just jump aboard come March?
Well, that's a good question. It's a question I think people have been starting to ask, and it might become even more prominent once, like, we have the Super Bowl matchup set, and, you know, that'll take up some national discussion, but really it'll be a lot about the NBA and college basketball on a day-to-day basis because those are the two primary sports that have all these games, with all due respect to hockey. I think that it's good to just have these kind of different rhythms, flavors, and beats on a season-in, season-out basis. You know what? Last year we had Gonzaga going until its final game of the regular season until it lost. You had a lot of people rooting against Gonzaga, which remains a bizarre trend to me. But now you've still got teams near the top of the polls that are really, really good and recognizable teams. Villanova, number one right now, they won the title all of 2 years ago. It's not exactly like they're an unknown. So you might have some curiosity as to, like, okay, is there not really a dominant team? And if so, who am I really tuning in to watch? I happen to think that all of that unknown, one, will separate in time. When we get to the tournament, you're going to have at least two teams that are going to definitively have one-seed resumes. It's not going to be a complete mystery. But you'll also get enough to know about a lot of these teams where it will drive interest. There's no doubt about it. There's a lot of star power, and a lot of those teams are in the top 10 right now. And now it's just a matter of seeing who is able to separate themselves, because personally, I really like this. I really like all of the figuring out that we still have to do. And you know what? And it makes it interesting. Like tonight, we have Xavier at Villanova. I think Villanova is going to win that game, but I also think it's going to be really close. But if Xavier wins, then we started all over. Like, who is the best team in the Big East? Is Villanova not going to be in line for a one seed? Things can change in a hurry, and to me, that's a lot of fun.
Matt, let me follow up then with what you're discussing here as far as all the different teams. There's a lot of really good players out there as well, young players. Last night we watched Trey Young at Oklahoma, Bagley at Duke, Anton at Arizona. We get Brunson tonight. You were just discussing Villanova and Xavier. Is there one guy yet that stands out to you the best? Or is there like a clump of five or six, some of the guys I just mentioned?
I mean, Trey Young is so clearly the national frontrunner player of the year right now. Like, he has separated himself, not like incredibly, but enough at this point. We're going to have at CBSSports.com bright and early on Thursday morning, we're going to have our midseason All-American Awards, Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, and all that stuff. I mean, it's no surprise. Trey Young's going to be Player of the Year and Freshman of the Year. I will say this. You asked me, like, who the best is in terms of the young guys. Player of the year is Young, and then probably Marvin Bagley, that among freshmen, that's close behind. DeAndre Ayton's right there as well. We mentioned Villanova. Jalen Brunson's not young, so to speak. He's a junior, so in my mind, he's an upperclassman, a veteran player right now. But what Trae Young has been able to do has been ridiculous. And what's even wilder is that his past two games against West Virginia and Texas Tech, the two best defensive teams in the Big 12, they've held him in check. And yet, that has meant he's scored 29 and 27 points. And he has had, what, you know, 7-8 assists in one game, 5 in the other? Just ridiculous. His expectation level is already on a different plane. And he is now, whereas last season, the must-watch player for all the wrong reasons in college basketball was Grayson Allen. this season for all the right reasons, the must-watch player in college basketball is Trae Young.
How about the Big 12 overall? You're talking about Trae Young and just what an awesome player he is, Matt, but this conference, the depth, we saw Iowa State make a run at Kansas last night, but is it going to be a season where three-way tie at 13-5, taking home the conference title, just the carnage that could happen? You might not have a national title contender, but boy, you got a lot of depth here, 1-8.
Oh, you're going to have both, Trent. You're going to have national title contenders, and you're going to have a logjam at the top.
Really?
In my opinion, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Listen, why wouldn't you? The Big 12 is empirically, by far, the best league in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not close.
Yes.
It's not close right now. So if you had that, why wouldn't you also have title contenders? You have Kansas, you have West Virginia, you have Oklahoma. And then if you want to not include TCU right now or Texas Tech, I think that's fair. But also let's talk at the end of February and see where those teams are in the standings, because the fact of the matter is if you are in position to win the Big 12, you are in position to be considered a national title contender. Oklahoma's offense is the best in college basketball, best player. Kansas has a coach that is considered among his peers, honestly, as a top five X and O guy in the sport. Kansas in general, I understand that frequently the Jayhawks, even though they have 1 and 2 seeds in the tournament, don't get to the Final Four, and it's frustrating. Still, even in a down year, right now, I cannot say Kansas isn't a title contender at this point. And then West Virginia, top five KenPom team, plays a defense unlike any other in major conference basketball right now. Javon Carter might be the best defender in the sport. They're really, really aggressive, and what they do is really successful. I absolutely have to consider West Virginia in the national title conversation, and I would put those three teams in a group of another, I don't know, 8 or 9 teams right now, which, again, is why it's fun. Like, we don't know which of those teams is going to wind up getting to San Antonio, but the Big 12 overall is must-watch every single night. Last night was tremendous, and it's just, no matter what, because of how good the league is, like, the only teams, like, the only combination of teams right now that you'd be like, all right, this isn't must-watch, is if it was Iowa State playing Oklahoma State, because mm-hmm. those are probably the two worst teams, or if you wanted to say, like, Iowa State, Kansas State, maybe. But we'll see what Bruce can do with the Wildcats. But overall, there are so many matchups in that league that can go either way that it's absolutely must-watch. And it's ironic that it's like this, because Iowa State was off to such a good start. Now it's flipped a little. That was kind of the expectation for it to happen. But usually when you think good Big 12, you think good Cyclones team. This is just, you know, it is a rebuilding. It's a reorganizing year for Steve Prohm. I still think they'll play spoiler and pick off a couple teams, obviously, there at Hilton.
Matt Norlander is our guest, CBSSports.com. We're talking college basketball. All right, great info on the Big 12. Take me to the Big 10. Purdue escapes last night. Isaac Haas hits 1 of 2 free throws, and that was the game winner. Is Purdue the real deal, or is it still Michigan State and then Purdue and then everybody else?
It's Michigan State and Purdue and then everybody else. Purdue is absolutely in the national title conversation right now. Good road win for Matt Painter's team. Another team that's top five KenPom. Man, they have really good inside-outside weapons. Vincent Edwards is just a fantastic wing. I like what he has a lot there. And here's what's fun for me. So, you know, it's my job to track this stuff year-round and to be aware of the rosters and you know, just kind of keep tabs on all things college basketball. But I understand that there are a lot of fans out there that just, like, when they see Purdue, they're like, okay, maybe they're all right, but I don't consider that team to be, like, one of the 10 best in college basketball. I don't consider that team to be a team that I could see making the Final Four. But I'm telling you, it can happen. Do not underestimate this team because of the size. And then, like, Carson Edwards has made such a nice leap this season. I'm not even ruling them out from winning the Big Ten over Michigan State, like, definitively. Not even sharing the title of standings at the end of the year. They might be good enough to steal it from the Spartans. Fun stuff there happening. And what's just the unexpected outcome of all of this is that they lost Caleb Swanigan, who last year really was probably the most valuable player in all of college basketball last week. Even if he wasn't a player of the year in a consensus way or anything like that. Like, he was undoubtedly a top three player overall statistically. And when you look at what he meant to Purdue, like, he was that valuable. And yet he goes, and Painter gets it done. It's really an awesome story.
Hey, nationally, you wrote an article last night after the tight victory for Kentucky over Texas A&M, perhaps getting away with one, as you put it in your column. This Kentucky team, it's the youngest that Calipari has had, and it's not what we've seen as of late. Kentucky in an SEC that has certainly improved this year, are they more like a bubble team than a contender for a top four seed?
Not a bubble team, I don't think. But I said on our CBS Sports College Hoops podcast with Gary Parrish on today's episode, like, I think Kentucky, we don't know what this team is. We've never had a Kentucky team this late in the season where it's had so many question marks. I think its ceiling is a three seed, and that would mean probably winning the SEC tournament and finishing top two in the league to get a three seed for Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Its floor, Trent, I think that they can be as low as a 10 seed.
Yeah.
And I think this is the worst Kentucky team since Calipari got there. I know that they had that one team that made the NIT and was a one and done. We'll remind listeners that Nerlens Noel, who went on to become a lottery pick, got injured that season. And at the time of his injury, Kentucky was a top 20 KenPom team. And it was shaky, but it was still trending toward being in the NCAA tournament, absolutely. The tricky thing for Kentucky is it has two road games upcoming against Vanderbilt and South Carolina. Kentucky is better than both of those teams, but they're both on the road, and we're going to find out a lot about Kentucky because those gyms are going to be packed, and those teams are going to be desperate to try and take advantage of Kentucky in a down year. We'll see if Frank Martin's guys or Bryce Drew's guys can actually do it. But if they do, you'll start hearing a lot about, like, just not a good year for Kentucky. Like, this didn't work for Cal. He went super young. It isn't paying off. Some of these guys will return next year and be stronger, but, you know, it's something of a lost season. You'll start to hear more of that.
Brad Calipari was getting run last night on the team because of some of the injuries that they've had. It just brought back memories of Todd Licklider and his son, Little Lick, running out on the floor for the Hawkeyes. So that was not a great memory watching him run around last night.
Yeah, that's the interesting part about it. I was mentioning this earlier. So, like, Calipari's kid is on the team, and he can, like, he's, you know, whatever. He gets in when the game is late, and it's a 20-point margin. Either Kentucky's up 20 or down 20 kind of deal, and you've got, like, the fan base being like, shoot the three and all this stuff, right? But he's in the game during, like, the first half last night, and you've got the home crowd doing that, and it's like, no. He has to actually be a productive rotation player in this game. So it was a commentary on how thin Kentucky's roster was last night and just where the program was at in that point. And with all that said, it's why even though Texas A&M is just skidding right now, it was an important and a gutty win for the Wildcats.
You know, I know that fans get locked into their teams and support their teams, but man, oh man, when you hear a story about what's going on now at Texas, it just really tears at your heartstrings. Texas starting guard Andrew Jones. Matt, I know you know this story. He's diagnosed with leukemia, and he's already starting to get treatment. I mean, that's a heartbreaker.
Really sober story. I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, just kind of bringing awareness to this is important. We don't know what kind of leukemia it is, and we do not know what stage it's in. But what we do know is that he was healthy to play earlier this season, and clearly this came on and took him by surprise. You know, with some types of leukemia, sometimes the answer is a bone marrow transplant. And what a lot of people don't realize, and I hope listeners take this to heart here, is amazingly, there are humans walking this planet right now who are a perfect bone marrow match for other people that have cancer, but they would never know it unless they sign up for what's called Be the Match. And Be the Match has a registry of about 19 million people in the United States, but it's still not an everyday, commonplace, well-known thing. Whereas in Europe, when you turn 18, it's like getting a driver's license. You sign up for their registry. It's not yet reached that point here, but if anyone is interested in this kind of thing and potentially saving a life, you never know, just Google Be the Match. It's so simple. You take a swab inside your cheek with a cotton swab, and you mail it back. They evaluate your DNA. They determine if you're healthy enough and in good physical health to do it. And particularly people between the ages of 18 and 50, really anyone above 18 can register, but that's the sweet spot. And getting the word out to every kind of race, because it's just, unfortunately, the registry is not nearly as deep as it needs to be. Thoughts go out to Andrew and the Texas family, that program, all of his loved ones. I really, really hope he's able to get this treatment taken care of in a fast and quick manner, recover, and see him back on the floor, because by all accounts, he's a really nice kid, obviously a good player. And, you know, this was sobering news to hear from today. Texas actually plays tonight. I'm sure Shaka will talk about it a little bit in the postgame. But everyone clearly rooting for him. That's just, it was a blow to hear. And hopefully he rallies strong and recovers quickly.
Hey, last thing here in our state, Iowa State loses last night. They're 0 for the conference. Iowa 0-5. They got Illinois tomorrow night. And then you have you and I, who got off to a nice start in the non-conference. They're 0-4 in the MVC. The only team we got in the state's the Drake Bulldogs, just like we all had it, right, Matt?
Nico Medved and the Drake Bulldogs right now. Oh my gosh. First of all, that you and I streak's got to end soon.
Yes.
It's got to. But Drake, for Nico to be doing, here's the thing about Medved, is that he left a Furman program that was set up to be probably the best team in that conference in the SoCon, and Furman has not been to the NCAA tournament since, I think it was 1980, maybe 1981. But he leaves that job because he sees an opportunity in a bigger conference, can see a potential to revive the Drake basketball program. I have no idea how he's doing this, but he is doing an amazing job. It's a really good local story right now. I'm almost waiting on like another couple of wins here. If they're able to do it, and if we get to that halfway point in the conference schedule and they're still in the driver's seat, he'll be worthy of absolutely some national pub there, because Drake, as people that are listening and follow that program know, has almost no history over the past three decades of national success. They had that flash in the pan year back in 08, I believe it was,
yep.
And now Medved's there, and he is working some serious magic. This is a really cool story, and it would truly be something. I don't know if we're going to get there, but if in a year Wichita State leaves the league, it wasn't Missouri State or Illinois State or Loyola of Chicago, the three teams that were expected to take the automatic bid. If instead it was the program that finished in the basement the year before that came up and just overthrew the conference, that'd be a fun story.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time as always, Matt Norlander, CBSSports.com. We'll talk again soon. Thanks, Matt.
Have a nice night, guys. Appreciate it.
Matt Norlander checking in. The Doggies, the only team with the win. Jimmy B, does it continue? Does you and I get a win? We got the Panthers coming up in a bit.
Yeah, I know. Boy, they're due. But, man, they haven't shown anything in this losing streak, Trent.
Nope.
They can't shoot it. They're not consistent in almost anything, even in their defense. And that's been a hallmark of what Ben Jacobson preaches. And they even have been struggling in that department during this losing streak. I think they might break it tonight, but they can't shoot 27% like they've been shooting from the floor, if that's going to happen.
No, you're absolutely right on that one. Coming up here, 5:30, the pregame show, 6 o'clock with the tip. It's Indiana State for you and I. Struggles defensively and offensively, though, a huge step back. They're still 42nd in the country in adjusted defense nationally. Jimmy B, very good overall, but adjusted offensive efficiency, 256.
Ooh.
Ugly,
ooh, I know.
Ugly
ooh.
Offense out of the Panthers.
Ooh.
We'll take a break. We're going to put a cap on things as we come back on the other side. Jimmy B and TC on 1700.
Welcome back, everybody. We are just about finished. You get out a little early this evening just because the UNI game is coming up. Kaboom! Yeah, you get to hear Gary call all the action. It's always fun. UNI playing tonight. Trent, it's an interesting night of TV. I know that we'll lock into the two locals with Drake and you and I both playing. Got to do a little computer watching, though. Some of these games are ESPN3.
Yeah, the Drake game, that'll be ESPN3 tonight, so you have to stream it. Get it either on the iPad, the computer, or hey, if you're technically advanced like myself, you can still watch it on the television, Jimmy B. I got to show you how to do that sometime. The U and I Indiana State game, though, that is on television. Fox Sports Midwest will have it. NBC Sports Chicago on one of the overflow channels. So you'll be able to pick that up. We'll have the radio call here for you again, 5:30, just a couple minutes away from the pregame show with Gary Rima as they take on Indiana State with the 6 o'clock tip. What else hoops-wise? You know, Duke's playing tonight, but they're at Pitt. That thing will probably be hideous.
Yeah, that'll be bad.
Xavier-Villanova,
Yes.
Villanova's had their problems with Butler throughout the years, but Xavier's a team that they played pretty well with. I think I'm going to jump aboard with the newly minted number one Villanova back in the driver's seat there. So I'm going to jump on Villanova over Xavier tonight. Later this evening, I do want to watch that Texas game. Just, you know, we talked about the story a little bit earlier. They take on TCU, so keep an eye on that one tonight. So Minnesota's at Northwestern. I'll take a peek. Just two teams that... two of the more disappointing teams in the country, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with the issues now that Minnesota is going through, that team was rocked by the scandal. So we'll have to wait and see if indeed they can even rebound from losing a player like Lynch and not being able to be the same team that they, and I think that most people expected them to be in the Big Ten. But you're absolutely right about Northwestern. This team is kind of reminds me a little bit of Iowa. They've just lost their way, and they can't seem to find their way. I don't know if it's like Jack and Jill going up the hill, and what you need to do is, like, throw crumbs behind you so you can find your way back down the hill. Neither of these teams have been able to do that so far.
I don't think Jack and Jill had crumbs with them, Jimmy B.
No, when they were out in the woods, you know, that was Hansel and Gretel. They should have done that.
Hansel and Gretel is who you're looking for, not Jack and Jill.
Yes, that's who I was looking for. I was looking for Hansel and Gretel. Thank you. Jack and Jill went up the hill, and then they came tumbling down.
They did, yes. A hell of an end to the program here today. The only place in Iowa with limericks and nursery rhymes, Jimmy B and TC. Be good, Brinson. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right, everybody, that one was for Baby Ella. Hope she's listening. All right, we're out of here. We'll see everybody bright and early tomorrow, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.